السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل على بصره غشاوة فمن يهديه من بعد الله أفلا تذكرون. وقالوا ما هي الا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا الا الدهر وما لهم بذلك من علم انهم الا يظنون. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وبفضل كرم احسان الله سبحانه وتعالى we find ourselves on this mubarak day of jumu'ah. In various ahadith mubarakah we find this message that a person's iman is incomplete until he does not love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than he loves anyone, more than he even loves himself. We find other ahadith mentioning that a person's iman is incomplete until his desires become subjected to what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. So, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, in few places, Allah Ta'ala speaks about a person who takes his own whims, his own fancies as his deity. So, this particular ayat-e-kareema that we recited comes in Suratul Jathiyah. So, Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى. But have you seen that one who has taken his whims as his deity? وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Allah Ta'ala caused him to go astray despite him having knowledge. Despite having knowledge, the person still goes astray. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. And Allah Ta'ala, خَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Yeah, and Allah Ta'ala puts a seal on the person's hearing and on his heart. وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. And he puts a veil over his sight. Meaning spiritually he becomes blind, he becomes deaf, he becomes such that he cannot perceive goodness. So Allah Ta'ala then asks, فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Who can guide him after Allah? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not take heed? Do you not understand? Do you not take some advice? So, in our deen, you see, insan by nature is emotional. Insan, he has got emotions, right? But Allah Ta'ala wants insan to live his life in such a way that his emotions must be subjected to the Shariat, to the Sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person cannot allow his emotions to run away with him. Whether it is on an occasion of happiness, sadness, worry, anxiety, apprehensions, whatever it may be, whatever emotion comes up, anger, whatever emotion comes up, that emotion must be controlled. Allah Ta'ala is watching me, right? I need to control this emotion, and I can only give vent to it to the extent that Allah Ta'ala has allowed. That's all. So for example, somebody passes away, right? So, if it is not a lady's husband, if a lady's husband passes away, then she is allowed to mourn for 4 months and 10 days.
Right.
Her, in that period, she can mourn. But anyone else, we are told that we can't mourn for more than 3 days. Right. So obviously, when somebody passes away, somebody close, a child passed away, a wife passed away, a parent passed away, a brother passed away, sister passed away, so there will be emotion. A person will be sad. But by 3 days' time, he will pick up the pieces and start moving forward, because that's what my Allah wants of me. So even though I'm sad, even though I may have a weak moment, right? But I will remain focused now, and I need to move, because my journey is to the akhirat. Right? This was a test that Allah Ta'ala made me go through, and now I'm going to pick up the pieces and move forward. A person sometime may have a windfall. All of a sudden, he comes into a lot of money. Unexpected. Right? Comes into a lot of money. Now he's very happy. In there also, his emotions are running crazy now. He wants to do this, do that. Anything that I want to do, I will check what is the hukam of my Allah. What is the hukam of my Allah? What does my Allah allow? What will make my Allah Ta'ala happy? I won't allow myself to just go crazy. A person could have been wealthy, and now his businesses are going down. Can see now business is getting bad. Things are, now he's becoming frustrated. He won't allow that frustration, that anger or depression to affect his akhlaq. Right? He won't allow this situation now to cause him to run to the bank manager. I need an OD facility now. Can I bond, put my house on bond? I need some money. No. He will remain focused. He will turn to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I'm trying everything. If he needs to change the products in his shop, if he needs to add on something, he needs to drop his overheads. All those are permissible things. Those are things he should be doing. But he won't run to anything impermissible. And if he reaches a situation where he needs to close the shop, he'll close the shop. He'll close the shop, no problem. If I need to work now, I'll work. What if I need to do flea market, I'll do flea market. Whatever I have to do to earn my rosy. For the time that Allah gave me the shop and He wanted my rosy to come from here, it came from there. Now Allah Pak didn't want my rosy to come from there anymore. Allah will give it to me from somewhere else. But He will not turn to anything haram. Won't turn to anything haram. Our emotions must never get the better of us. The fikr of my rosy, must not cause me to break Allah Ta'ala's commands. Must not cause me to go contrary and against the sunnah of my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Now, this is easy to say it. It's easy to say it. But to practically implement it in our lives, in every situation, each and every situation. Right? You lend somebody your motor car. Lend somebody your car. Even if it's smashed it. You give your brother the car. Even if it's smashed it. Not intentional. He was careful, whatever. No, accident happened. Car was smashed. How do I react? Is my first thought Allah Ta'ala is watching? I got a staff, did something. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. He's human, I'm human. Could have been me. Or, son, don't know what you're doing. How is it like that? All the Greek and French and all the languages and everything comes out. So all the time Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I mustn't go against the Shariat. I mustn't go against the Sunnah. Right? One Buzurg, he purchased a slave girl. Purchased a slave. And so he took her home. So he asked her that, what is your preference for meals? So you can buy the what she likes, whatever. So she said, whatever you will feed me. So what's your preference for clothing? However you clothe me. Which room you like for your lodging? Whichever room you tell me to use. So that Buzurg mentioned that this slave girl taught me what it is, how I'm supposed to be in my relationship with Allah Ta'ala. How Allah Ta'ala keeps me, I must be happy with that. Because I am just a slave of Allah. You know, Mullah Umar Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. So him, they were the founders of the Taliban in Afghanistan. They fought against the American army with its alliance all day. So many countries came to fight against them. So this whole war, how it started was that Osama bin Laden, he had come and taken refuge in Afghanistan. America was after him, and he had come and taken refuge in Afghanistan. So America was demanding that the Taliban must hand him over. And they refused. Now they just came out of a war with the Russians. They had now taken over the country. Then they had their own internal conflicts. And then the Taliban was born. They now took over the country. They established Sharia law. They destroyed all those Buddhist booths that were there. A couple of other things they did. So the West was getting very angry with them. These people now. What is the idea of the West? How to run the world? The whole idea is they must control every person on earth. They think they want to be Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah Ta'ala can control. So their blueprint, how the world must run, is that every person must live in a 50 kilometer radius. Mustn't come out of that. So they put everybody in a kraal, then a smaller kraal. You see, from one big world, they made continents. The continents, they made countries. Countries, provinces. Provinces, towns. Now within towns, towns. Each person is confined. You must have passport. You can't go there. You can't come here. Control here, control there. They think that by making it smaller and smaller and smaller, then they'll be able to control everybody. That's a different topic. So they were not too happy with how the Taliban were doing things. So when Osama bin Laden went there and he settled there, so now that was the excuse for them. So well, if you don't hand him over, we are going to bomb your country up. So Mullah Umar Rahimahullah and the Taliban, they say, you do what you want to do, but we're not handing him over. So it was a long drawn thing. Eventually some ulama from Pakistan, senior ulama, they went to speak to Mullah Umar Rahimahullah. They went to speak to him and they explained to him that, look, if they come and bomb your country, one small country here, they got such, you know, military might and all that, they'll come and finish you all up, right? And you all are the only country that is upholding the Shariat. So, for one person now, why you want to put the whole country at risk? And this whole Shariat system and everything, you want to compromise the whole thing just for one person? Hand him over, he's just one person, and the whole country will be safe. So, Sayyidina Umar rahimahullah, he said to them, he said, the object of acquiring the country was not to live in peace. The object of acquiring the country was to establish the law of Shariat. So it is part of Shariat that we can't hand our Muslim brother over to the enemy. That's Allah's law. So if I break this law, are you going to intercede? If you can give me guarantee, you will intercede for me there by Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah for me breaking this law, then no problem. So an alim who was there, who was teaching Bukhari Sharif for so many years, he even wrote a shara, beautiful shara on Bukhari Sharif. He mentioned that I was teaching Kitabul Iman in Bukhari Sharif for so many years, but that day I learned Iman. Obviously he must have made out of humility, he made a statement, but trying to explain the level of Iman and Yaqeen that Mullah Umar rahimahullah had. Right? So they didn't hand over Usama, and the bombardment started and everything took place, and Mullah Umar also became Shaheed. But 20 years later, Allah Ta'ala gave them the country, and with so much of booty, and they carried on. But they didn't break Allah Ta'ala's law. So when we don't break Allah Ta'ala's law, whether it is in our personal lives, in our businesses, in our business, our communities, whatever, Allah Ta'ala's help will be with us. But when we do things against the law of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah's help won't be with us. So today we look around Arab countries, other countries, even those countries that have been recently liberated. Now we become so emotional, that if anybody says anything negative about the place or whatever, how you can talk like that? Who are we to judge? And nobody is judging anybody. Nobody is judging. But when there was one Muslim person who had become very famous due to him being a very good sportsman. So our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he pointed out that, look, the man as a person, he is a good man. But this, what he is doing, is wrong. This, what he is engaging in, that sport and his all that. Now I don't think he's anymore in there, I don't know. But that time when you were very famous. So Hazrat pointed it out. That's not a role model to follow. As a man, he's got good akhlaq. He's even come to Hazrat's programs. But Hazrat pointed it out that the sport that he is involved in, that is wrong. So whether it's Syria, whether it's Palestine, whether it's wherever, right? Afghanistan, wherever, whether it's our madrasa, whether it's wherever. The madrasa that we studied, or anywhere, our own home, our own parent, our own family, whatever, our own friend. If Allah's law is being broken, we cannot make excuses for that. What's wrong is wrong. If I'm breaking Allah Ta'ala's law, then that is wrong. We can't make an excuse for that. If my child is breaking Allah Ta'ala's law, it's wrong. I can't make an excuse for that. Yes, I can't judge him. Allah Ta'ala may forgive him. His iman may be very, very strong, but the wrong thing that he is doing is wrong. That you can't condone. So for a president of a country, Muslim country, to flaunt his wife in public, who's supposed to be in parda, now to walk with her in public and show her off and everything, say, no, you know, diplomacy, now you're going to meet other what you call presidents of countries, and no, you have to be like this, otherwise they won't uplift the sanctions, and they won't do this, and they won't do that. So we can't say that, no, it's fine for them to do all that. That is wrong. It's incorrect, it's wrong. Wrong is wrong. We're not saying we any better. We may be worse, right? We are worse. But a wrong thing will always remain a wrong thing. And the quicker we adopt the Shariat, Allah's help will come. But when we use our own whims, our own intellect, that no, we'll put the Shariat on a back burner for now, because first we need to appease America. He's like a person, he goes to work somewhere, and now they tell him, no, you must shave off your beard, you can't wear kurta, you can't go for namaz. So he said, well, alright, let me just put Shariat on a back burner for now, right? And let me just get settled in this job, and then I'll show them what a good worker I am, then slowly I'll ask them permission, or let me grow my beard. Let me now go for namaz. I would have won them over by then. Right? So we'll say, no, that is incorrect. Right? From the beginning, you must tell them that these are my requirements. If you can't give me this requirement, then leave it. I'll find some other job. Allah Ta'ala will open something else up for me. The person is alright, no, I'm starting my business now. Then man, I'll take a loan on interest to get started, man. You know, otherwise, how am I going to get my business started? So I'll take a loan on interest and I'll do this and that. After that, once everything is running, then slowly, slowly I'll get rid of the interest and then I'll start giving charity. And so you say, no, it's wrong. From day one, you mustn't do the haram. From day one, implement what Allah Ta'ala wants of you. Allah's madad, Allah Ta'ala's help will come. So as much as our hearts go out to our Muslim brethren around the world and wherever, but we must understand that Allah's law is Allah's law. If Allah's law is being broken, right, then we can't make excuses. We can't make excuses. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Whether it comes to us, whether it comes to our children, whether it comes to leaders that we like, whether it comes to countries that have just been liberated, right? What is wrong. It can't become right. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that our wombs must not be our deity. Allah Ta'ala is our Allah. We are the slave of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.